Hey, time to have a chat to a very special guest. Not often we get to sit in the presence of sporting Olympians at the elite level, but we are right now because Amanda Ross, who is a VRC ambassador, does so much work with off-the-track horses, but is also an eventing Olympian who is almost on the verge of your second Olympics, heading to Tokyo, fingers crossed, a little later this year as well. But you're ready for a big day out here at Flemington today. Great to see you, Amanda. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you so much for having me.
How exciting is it to be back at the track, especially in your role as a VRC ambassador?
Oh, it's amazing. I think Flemington is just so picturesque. It's incredible and super exciting to be out here in this role.
Just on the Tokyo Olympics, where are we at with that? Is that guaranteed with COVID to go ahead, or is it still up in the air? Or?
Well, no, so far they're going ahead and they're rolling out what they call their playbook, which is basically a list of all of the procedures that they're going to be using to make it as COVID safe. And this gets updated on a regular basis, so they're really pushing it hard.
And you're feeling quite optimistic that it'll have a semblance of normality, that Olympics?
Well, I don't know about normality, but I think it'll definitely be, you know, going ahead. And at the end of the day, I think for all the athletes, it's really about going there and doing the job that you've been training so hard for. So it may not be socially as normal. You know, we might not be going along the streets of Japan with a little sushi, but I think the competition is to be amazing.
It would be an amazing achievement for you if you did make the Tokyo Olympics team, because your last Olympics was 2000 in Sydney, which was one of the best games we've ever seen. But that's a pretty big gap in between Olympics.
Have you been in jail for 20 years or something?
Yeah, I'd usually say that I was only six when I rode at Sydney. Yeah, it's a pretty big gap.
Why the big gap?
Well, I think we're really lucky in equestrian that, unlike a gymnast, we're not washed up at 18. And when it's a lifestyle, like I see most horse people, you know, they're really engaged in the whole lifestyle of being a horse person. I absolutely love doing it. And I actually think that the more experience you get and the older you get, the better you get. A bit like a bottle of red.
Sounds that's something we can all relate to.
Don't remind us of that.
Not so much.
I've
for the
only seen half a dozen bottles of red since a side bet last year, and you've just reminded him again that I owe him
hasn't
bottles of red.
Paid me for 18 months with the bottles of red. You've got an affinity with retired or ex-thoroughbred racehorses, mm-hmm. which brings it closer together. Which is really important, isn't it? That equestrian side and the racing side. It's the thoroughbred in this case, a bit of a common denominator for you.
Absolutely. Like I started, like most Australian kids, riding thoroughbreds off the track, and used to go to my local Mornington racetrack and just hang around the mounting yard and the stables and pick which one I thought would make a nice eventing horse, and, you know, approach the trainer and have a bit of a chat, and if it wasn't ready at that stage, keep me in mind for later. So it's definitely been my upbringing.
You live near Matt Laurie down on the peninsula, and I had a good chat to him a couple of weeks ago about, because he's a quirky cat, Matt Laurie. He's really quirky, but he's very focused on the horse and the biology of the horse and the moving parts of the horse. And he says his equestrian background has really, really helped with that. And I know Jess Eaton did a lot of off-the-track stuff with, you know, through her early equestrian career. And she's now the leading jockey in South Australia. And Jamie Carr, famously, mm-hmm. as well. The connection between equestrian work and success with racehorses in a racing setting, do you see the connection there?
100%. Like, I remember Matt when he was competing in equestrian, and he was always a super rider. Like, he was just natural on the horse, and he obviously has got super balance, and having that background, he understands that they need to be flexible as an athlete. They need to be schooled and trained, get them relaxed, and they're always going to do better no matter what it is. So I think it's a really good grounding. It gives you a huge, broad foundation to work any horse from.
Even our little picnic champ, he's won five in a row, but the reason is because Jamie, the daughter of the trainer, Alan mm-hmm. Keenan, is a champion equestrian, and she's mm-hmm. just done all this equestrian stuff, all the stuff Matt Laurie's done, and as you've just described. So little 1% is all adding up, I'd say.
Are Definitely. They becoming more popular, the off-the-track horses? We know there's a lot of retraining, mm-hmm. But for pleasure and equestrian, are they becoming more popular?
I think they've always been really popular, but what I really like seeing is that the racehorses are now really being promoted as great for a variety of things. So they're not just sort of centred towards one particular type of equestrian discipline. They can be show horses, they can be pony club horses, they can be polo ponies, they can be eventing horses. It's really, really varied, and I think it's a great promotion to show that.
In an animal welfare sense, this is the biggest thing in racing at the moment, is the life-to-death story of the horse and how we track them and all that sort of stuff. How important is what you're doing and the off-the-track to sort of address that issue with welfare?
I think it's super important because we do breed the most wonderful thoroughbreds here. And, I mean, let's say they might race till they're five, some of the older ones till seven or eight. But for us, I don't really get anything until it's a four-year-old. So for me, that they'll get on till they're 17 or 18. And for my job as an elite equestrian, the horse might peak at maybe 14. But then it can always teach a younger rider something well into its teens. So I think it's fantastic to know the horses have the rest of their life.
And when you represented Australia at the Olympics 2000, you had a thoroughbred compete for you at the Olympics.
Yep, absolutely. He was by a horse called Dom Cimarosa, and that was a long, long time ago. But he was quite a quirky horse, but he was brave and he had a huge length of stride. The galloping was easy for him, so yeah.
Do you remember the opening ceremony? I remember, you know, because you're obviously part of it.
I think Amanda would remember.
No, I'm talking generally to the group. But my biggest memory of the opening ceremony wasn't Kathy Freeman. It was Greg Norman pelting golf balls off a moving stage into the crowd. Do you remember that part of the opening ceremony?
You know what? I'm going to say I don't, because we were in the gym hall waiting to go out last, and so I missed that part. But it actually sounds fascinating.
I think they were those little plasticky ones. I think he was pelting titleists into the crowd. No.
Your mind never, ever fails to disappoint where you go sometimes, Maddie. I love it. Hey, how about we get a winner?
Okay.
Amanda, mm-hmm. We know you're a great judge of all types of horse flesh. Have you got a tip in the guineas today?
I'm going with Tagaloa because I met Natalie Young for the first time on Tuesday, and she was lovely, and so I'm definitely going with her horse.
There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And the horse is a star as well. Enjoy today, Amanda.
Thank you.